I want to do with you what we call a Sefer review. Once in a while I find a new interesting little Sefer, a Sefer review. The name of the Sefer is called Shalom Aleichem. Not the Shalom Aleichem you're thinking about.
Okay.
Shalom Aleichem. Now this Sefer is a English and shortened translation, shortened version of a more elaborate Sefer called Shalom Rav HaShalem. Shalom Rav HaShalem is a thick Sefer in Hebrew, written by this Talmud Chacham, Rabbi Shiloh Ben David. I assume he's an Israeli. Who would have a last name called Ben David other than an Israeli? Shiloh is also not a typical American name. So this is a Rav, a very chashuv Talmud Chacham, Rav Shiloh Ben David. He wrote a Sefer in Hebrew called Shalom Rav HaShalem. And it was recently translated. First it was condensed, it was shortened very, very much, and translated into this book you see in front of you. It was distributed by one of these new publishers, Menucha Publishing. Okay, basically what it is it's a collection of everything you ever wanted to know about Shalom Aleichem, the concept of greeting, of one She'el Hashem, giving of greeting another person. Now, it may seem like a trivial little matter to give wish another person Shalom Aleichem, but the truth is it's jam-packed. The laws of Shalom Aleichem are jam-packed with halacha. There are many, many, we all know in an Ovel, you don't say Shalom Aleichem to an Ovel. An Ovel is not supposed to greet another person. And we know that on Tisha B'Av, you're not supposed to greet people. So,
before davening, exactly.
So, a large chunk. Oh, so he talks about it. So, Shulchan Aruch says, no, you're not supposed to. It says before Shulchan Aruch, you're not supposed to give shalom to a woman. And we'll talk about that. No, not even to say, you're not supposed to say Shalom Aleichem, because the word Shalom Aleichem is so powerful. Greeting a person is so powerful, it creates such a bond, such unity between people, it can very easily lead to sin. And although it may seem very strange to us, but if you really understand what you're doing when you're giving a person a greeting, you will... It grows. What? Oh, so we're going to talk about that. I'm going to very briefly discuss. Okay, very briefly, I want to discuss. That's why you have an entire Sefer. The Sefer is broken really into two parts. There is the halachic section. There is the halachic section of the Sefer, and then there is the agadic section of the Sefer. Halacha, he goes through an enormous amount of halacha of when you're allowed a session, when you're not, all these different scenarios. I'll just touch upon a few interesting things. And then he has Inyani Agada, relating to the concept of Shalom Aleichem. He has some stories. It's a very, very powerful collection, interesting collection of ideals in halacha, Agada, stories from Gdolei Yisrael, relating to the idea, to this halachic idea and this hashkafic idea of giving another person, greeting another person, shalom, peace, or giving them. Now first, let's start the very, very, very basic concept. What exactly are you doing when you say to a person, shalom aleichem? So the truth is, there are two interpretations in Chazal, what you are doing. The first and the most simple interpretation is, it's not a statement, it's a question. You are supposed to put a question mark after the word Aleichem. Mitzvah Shabbos, Rebbe Lava Mal, Mitzvah Shabbos, Kiddush Levana. So what do you say? You say, Shalom Aleichem. How do you say it?
Shalom.
No. You're supposed to say, Shalom Aleichem? Question mark. That's what you're supposed to do. Shalom Aleichem. Now what does that mean? Translate that in English. Is there peace to you? In other words, is everything okay? Is everything? Do you have what to eat? Do you have where to sleep? Do you have enough money to pay tuition for your children's yeshivas? Do you have? Is there shalom bayis? Are you okay with your wife? Do you have children, grandchildren? Do you need a doctor? Do you need some assistance? What are your needs? Are you living in a state of peace? It is a question that demands an answer. The answer is not Aleichem Shalom. That's not the answer. The answer is, well, I really can use a new car. And, you know, maybe someone can, I'm not on such good terms with my next door neighbor. Maybe you can straighten out. We have a little bit of a fight. And, you know, my daughter-in-law, she needs some help with the kids. She needs a kitchen, okay.
The new kitchen. The
Iker Hadin, it's important always to know the Iker before you go into the way it's used today. Today, the whole thing is a joke. But Iker Hadin, when you say to a person, Shalom Aleichem, it's...
I three times.
Okay, that's a minute. Emphasis.
Yeah, well, the first time is a Birkei de Rabbi Elazar.
Yeah.
It's beautiful, Birkei.
Yeah.
About the whole Kiddush Levana, why the sequence of that they are. And it was all down to my Kiddush Levana because the people that were giving false signals, and that was the code.
It was a code.
You would say, you want to know, I mean, the guy gave a signal, or you know, he would say, he saw the moon, I mean, are you a Jew, sort of. If the guy would be willing to make the statement, in other words, he was saying, yes, I'm one of us, I'm a member of the tribe. And then you would end off with Shalom Aleichem, you know, like, thanks, you know. Like,
it's code. It's a code to know that the signals,
a couple of pages.
They would send signals to know when there is Rosh Chodesh. Kiddush Levana is an outgrowth. Okay, we have to know what the Iker. Today we say Shalom Aleichem, basically it means hello, hi. Like you have an email, right? Hi, hello. That's the way we use today Shalom Aleichem. It means almost nothing. It means cannot nothing. Shalom Aleichem, hello. But the Iker Hadin, going back to its original source, it is a loaded question. When you say to a person Shalom Aleichem, you basically mean, are you okay? Do you need anything? Can I do something for you? What's the problem here? Are there any problems?
Sheila
Shalom. Right? You're coming to mean Shoyala. Is everything okay? That's really what it's all about.
But if it's Shekodesh Baruch Hu's name, one of his names.
Yes.
I know the Sephardim are very, you know, very curious. You know, Shabbat Shalom.
Correct.
They don't say good Shabbos because they want. And I
Shalom, yes, Shalom. It's the name of God. It comes from Boaz.
So if you say Shalom Aleichem, you're like giving almost like a
Boaz. Oh, and that's another interpretation. Okay, that's the second approach. But let's one thing at a time. So let's keep this in mind. It is a loaded question that demands a response to know the person's situation. There's another interpretation given by the early commentators. He has all the sources here. What is the Mukar? It's a Baracha. Shalom Aleichem is not the way I told you. Shalom Aleichem? Is everything okay? It's a statement. Shalom Aleichem. I don't want to know about your problems. I don't have time for your problems. I'm busy. And I have my own problems. I got my own problems. Shalom Aleichem means I'm giving you a blessing. May peace be upon you. Shalom, which is the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shalom is one of Hashem. Hashem Shalom, the pasuk in Yeshaya. Hashem Shalom. May Hashem be upon you. May the peace, may HaKadosh Baruch Hu bless. It's a blessing. It's not, hi, how you doing? Hello, good morning. Shalom Aleichem. May God bless you. That's really what it means. That's the real way it was meant to be used. One of these two ways. Either a question or a blessing. Well, how is it used today? Today, like we just said, colloquial terms, it's hello, what's doing, good morning. Now that has nafkaminas. What are the nafkaminas? Mikra Hadin, the Shalom, as you said, is Hashem's name. Being that it's Hashem's name, you're not allowed to say the word Shalom in places that are not clean. You're not allowed to greet, in many halachos, you're not allowed to greet a person before davening. Because before davening, you have to. It's not. We learned from Avraham Avinu, Malki Tzedek lost the kahuna by giving a bracha to Avraham before he gave a bracha to Hashem. From there, we learned that a person has to be very careful to first greet HaKadosh Baruch Hu before you greet your fellow man. So question is, are you allowed to say Shalom Aleichem to a person before davening? Are you allowed to say Shalom Aleichem, in the Beis HaKisa or Beis HaMerchatz? So the answer is, if you say Shalom Aleichem the way it was intended originally by Chazal, where it's either a question of how are you okay, do you have any needs, anything we can do for you, or you want to give a person a blessing, that would be forbidden. But if the way you use the word Shalom Aleichem is nothing more than a good morning, Safra d'mora tova, the morning of Master may be good, or hello, then it would not necessarily be forbidden, even in today's times, to say to your friend Shalom Aleichem. So the Mahi brings down a machlokes sapoiskim. Lechatchil, a person should not say before davening to your friend Shalom Aleichem, even though you only mean to say it casually, good morning, and you should not say the word Shalom Aleichem in the Beis HaKiseh Beis HaMerchatz. However, he does cite modern day poskim that say that it's not the way it's used today, and therefore Bizman HaZeh there really is no prohibition just to casually say Shalom Aleichem to your friend in the Beis HaKiseh or before davening. Because that's one interesting idea relating to Shalom Aleichem. Okay, now there is a concept called Oye Bake Shalom V'Rotfeu, seek out peace and pursue it. What is the meaning of the halachic? How does one fulfill the halachic requirement of V'Rotfeu to be a roidev shalom? So it's not like you think you're running around the whole day, running around chasing people. Oh, there's a machlok, you have a fire, I want to go resolve all the disputes. The halachic concept of roidev shalom means be first to say shalom. It's nothing to do with running, nothing to do with putting up a website, the Rodev Shalom Institute. That's not what it's about. It means when you come to shul, don't play games. Who will be the first one to come over and say good morning? Whenever you go out of your way to be the first to greet your friend and say good morning or Shalom Aleichem, you are Mekayim the Pasuk Virat Feu. To be a Rodev means you be first. That's how the Chazal interpret. It's a very interesting concept. And all there's a minog. The minog is whenever you give a person a blessing, the person is supposed to give you back a bigger blessing. So there's a silver lining in being the Rodev Shalom. If you wish a person to have a good day, good yar. If you wish them a good yar, what do they say to you? Kol toy. There's a minog.
I heard that.
Gun Tamil or Kol Tuf. Kol Tuf means all good. You wish me a good year, I wish you more, I wish you everything should be good. A whole lifetime should be good. Let's say you wish a person Kol Tuf. What do they wish you? Yeah?
Naming someone Shalom.
Yes. So there are different opinions. Yitachi brings that down. He brings that down over here. He says that there used to be a Hakpada, not to name a person by the name Shalom. Because you can't give a person the name by Hashem's name. It's reserved for Hashem. Reserved for Hashem, how dare you give a... You can't go, you can't go, you can't go, you'll call a person Yud Kei Vav Kei, they'll throw you out. They'll throw you out of the community. You're out of your mind. You don't call a person by... So Hashem is no different. However, Kevon de Doshubei Rabim Doshubei, since we find even in the Gemara, we find Gedoy Lehadah that we call Shalom, and then you name after. So since it already became accepted, it became accepted. But it's not an ideal thing to do. He does bring that down. But that's it. Okay, now that's another idea. Avoid Bakei Shalom V'Rotfeu is to be the first one. And this is still alone because when you give a person a bracha, they give you back a bracha. And the bracha that they give you back will be even bigger than what you give. So besides the halakha that you should be the first one to initiate the bracha, just look at the good side of things, you're going to be getting back even a bigger bracha than what you're giving. First, I'll point out also that even if the person doesn't give you back a bracha, you're still blessed. Va'avorcha, those who bless you will be blessed. If you give a person a bracha, automatically you are the recipient of that bracha, so you're only blessing yourself. Finding a person with a bracha too is really giving bracha to yourself. I'll just say a little story. I got into trouble with the story. I told the story to someone. I got a lot of musa from the. A person I told the story to was very angry at me. The story was a person. I know a certain person. He always gives. He always likes. He gives all these elaborate brachas. Shalom aleichem, how I should bench, and he goes vayit and vayit. And then I realized it took me time to pick up. The reason why he's giving me these brachas is because it does the other people also because he wants me to say back to him the chen lamar. The same to master. So I realize he's really saying this because he wants the bracha for himself. So he's giving this la bracha, and he's waiting for me to say the chen lamar. So I once tested him. He gave me this bracha. He said these very nice things. I didn't say anything. So he basically prodded me. He says, you know, when you say bracha, you're supposed to say v'chein l'mach. So I was in a very bad mood. So I said to him, as follows. And then I told over the whole story to one of my rebbeim, and he wiped the floor with me. Okay, but I was in a bad mood, and I said, you know, and I made this up. And as I was talking, I made this whole thing up. I said, you know, there's such a minog, a custom, that if you're a sandik, it's a school of ashiras. You become a multimillionaire. You become a sadik. So I said, but there's one tanai. I made this lie. I said, if you want to be a son, sadikosh, be a school of ashiras. Well, forget about that. Saying the ketores. If you say the ketores every single day with kavana, it's a school of ashiras. There's one tanai. The tanai is that when you say the ketores or you're the sadik, you should not do it with any kavana whatsoever. Any kavanah whatsoever that you should be zoicha to Hashiras. If you have in your mind, the back of your mind, the slightest kavanah that I'm asserting as sadik in order to be zoicha to Hashiras, I'm saying the ketores in order to be zoicha to Hashiras, you're guaranteed it's not going to work. So I said to him, it's the same thing. If you want to be zoicha to the brachas, that when you give it, what's the pasuk? Vavarecha bevarechecha. If you want to be zocha that you'll be a recipient of your own bracha, it has 100% without the kavana, sincere, without the expectation that you're going to get back the same bracha, and the person should wish you the same bracha. So I said, but you're giving me these elaborate brachas, you're only giving it al manas. You proved it. You proved it to me. You're only giving it al manas. I should say back the chayim lamar. So your whole bracha is meaningless. So what are you giving me these brachas? I said, what are you giving me these brachas? Because you want me to say the chayim lamar? These brachas are not worth anything. A bracha that you're giving me only because you're having a kavanah that I should say back to you the chayim lamar doesn't mean anything. So he was very upset with me. That very guy, he was... So I told this over to someone, and I remember the person, he said to me, how could you say that? I said, the person said to me, what a chayim, you talk like that to someone? How dare you? The guy gave you a bracha. Just say it in the chayim lamar and go about your business. What's in your business to give him musa? Who do you think you are? He's all in you. So I remember, I just remember the aftermath of this story, but there's something to this idea. When you give a person a bracha, you get back a bracha. Okay, let me give you another idea. Let me give you some other ideas. What?
Were you right?
Partially, yes. There is truth to what I said, but just because you're right doesn't mean you have to say it. You don't have to insult someone. You don't have to get into trouble. Okay, let's go to another idea. Now, this idea, I like this very much. I came across, this is new to me. I always wondered about this. Toich kedei dibur. If you're a witness, you go to court, and you testify, and you say in court, Dayanim, mumchim, chashav rabbanim, I want to testify that Reuven killed Shimon. Reuven's a murderer. Reuven killed Shimon. And then I'm thinking, you know, maybe I shouldn't. It's a lie, not a lie. I want to retract. Am I allowed to retract my testimony? So the rule is, if you retract your testimony, toch kidei dibor, you can retract. You're not held accountable for anything that you say in court if you retract it within toch kidei dibor. You have 2 seconds. 2 seconds, I change my mind, erase that from the record. Delete it from the record. Once those 2 seconds pass, it's too late to delete it from the record. Except when it comes to Hashem Shemayim, when a person says Hashem's name, we know that. When you mark this something to the Beis HaMikdash, there are different exceptions to the rule. What is Toich Kidei Dibur throughout Shas? The whole Shas. What is this man? How do you define the 2 seconds? Where does the 2 seconds come from? Toich Kidei Dibur from Shalom Olecha Rebbe Umayri. Why in the world did Chazal invent the concept of Toich Kidei Dibur? Is it connected to the words Shalom Alecha Rebbe Umar? Where do they come to be the defining zman of what is kosher for a witness to testify? The Ikar Dibur is testimony. The Dibur for many things in Kahalacha, but the Ikar Dibur is Dibur. So the answer is, this goes to a general theme, to the general theme that he discusses in the Sefer, is Chazal, if you don't give a person a Shalom Aleichem, you don't wish them a bracha, Shalom Aleichem, or you inquire their welfare, or just say good morning to them, you're a ganef. You're a ganef. You deny the person the basic human dignity. This is a Chazal. I don't know the exact source. when you see a person, the person's face is public property. If you walk in the street, you have an obligation to cover yourself. You have an obligation to be presentable. Your face is public property. If you look at a person, you pass a person, and you're mean, and you're nasty, and you don't want to give him the basic dignity of saying to him, good morning, hello, shalom aleichem, and smile, and show your teeth to him, you have denied a person his basic dignity. And you have no right to say, oh, but I'm my own person. If you walk in the street, you're a barber, shusarabim. You're walking in the street, you have to walk in the street like a mensch. You have to dress properly, and you have, when you see another person, you have to properly greet him. If you don't properly greet him, you're a ganav. Just like if you put up a sukkah on your street and you block the street, no one can walk down the street, you're a ganav. You've stolen the derech harabim. You make a bar in the street, you're a ganav. You so too, if you walk in the street and you do not behave the way it's supposed to be, you're a ganav. You deny people what they're entitled to, especially when it comes to covered abrios. You're a ganav. The worst thing you can possibly be in an aid, a witness, is a ganav. You don't have to be a kaddosh, a tahar. The most important thing when you're a witness is not to be a ganav. There are many people that refuse to be witnesses by weddings. Why? They deal with a lot of money. I heard of a certain Rosh Kailo. He's a Rosh Kailo. He's a very big Kailo. He's in charge of a Kailo. He's a very big Kailo. And he gives out at the end of the month. He distributes a lot of money to the people in the Kailo. There's some very chashuv Kailo, and then he's in charge. Who's a part of the Kailo or not? And he has to collect. He collects a lot of money. And he's in the, and a lot of the Talmidim, they want to honor him with being a witness by a wedding or some event. He refused. He says, I deal with a lot of money. It's inevitable that I'm a ganav. That some of the money that I collect, I collect money and I promise the money is going to support my people in my kolo. And the people in the kolo, they don't come on time, they come late, they do this, they do that. And I have no choice, I have to give them the check anyway, and I shouldn't give them a check. Sometimes I don't give them the check, but I really should give them a check. I don't feel comfortable. I suffer. I suffer from my job. I do the best that I can. But a lot of money goes through my hands in paying out people, and the money is given for a certain reason, and I'm not really sure. I don't feel that I don't feel confident enough that I'm a kosher witness to say, not because of any tzidkis. If I just had a regular 9-to-5 job, whatever, I learned in kol, I would be okay with it, but not because a ganav is the worst chesaron in being a witness. A person that's a witness, and he wants to give validity to his testimony, time has to pass. Time has to pass, we can no longer retract. The way Chazal used, the amount of time Chazal used as a siman to emphasize that the testimony is valid, is true, and can no longer be retracted, is with the words, Shalom Alecha Rebbe Umari, Shalom Aleichem, because this is the most basic form of gezel in the world. Doesn't cost you a penny, and by not doing it, you're stealing from another person. It doesn't cost you anything to tell another person good morning, and by not telling them good morning, you're a ganav. It's the most basic, elementary form of theft, geneva, gezela, that exists in this world. And the most basic principle you need to be a kosher witness is not to be a ganav. And now we're coming to establish the validity of your testimony by having time pass. We're going to use the most basic form of geneva to emphasize what that this testimony is a valid form of testimony. This I found to be a very, very powerful idea. Okay, you mentioned, yeah?
It's term shalom aleichem.
Yeah.
Is that an equivalent or equated to, let's say, you see someone walking on Shabbos and say, you have a chiyuv to say to him, good Shabbos?
You do.
No, I just want to know if it's
the same idea. Saying shalom aleichem, saying good Shabbos, saying good morning, all of these expressions are in the same category. The different nuances, but the idea is to greet another person. The term that Chazal have used is she'elah shalom. She'elah shalom is a very rich expression, And but it's really the same idea. At least now, let me just tell you one story which made a very powerful impression on me. I vaguely remember the story from years ago, but I read it again here, and it's just a powerful story. So Maisha, it's a true story. A couple comes to a Beis Din Eretz Yisrael, and they tell the Dayanim, "We want a divorce. We have nothing in common. We're married for a period of time, and we have nothing in common. And there's no chemistry. And we have decided we want a divorce." Okay, the Beis Din says, "Fine, everything is fine. We have no choice. You want a divorce? Come back on this day. A divorce is a very complicated matter. You have to have Dayanim. You have to have a Sofer. You have to have a whole. It's a whole. It's very complicated. Okay, come back. We'll do it next week on this time. That's when we do all the Gittin." In the meantime, one of the Dayanim was there. His name was Rabbi Rafal Levine. He was a very big Dayan in Eretz Yisrael. Anyone ever hear of him? Rabbi Rafal Levine. He was there. He saw the couple.
To you?
No, not related to me. And he did not. He was not happy with what he saw. So he privately contacted the couple, and he said, "You know, why do you really want to get divorced? I saw you embezzled in you. Okay, we'll get divorced, but, you know, did you go for therapy? Yeah, we tried this, we tried that. Let's do a segula." Now, this Rabbi Rafal Levine is probably the last person in the world that would go for a segula, fall for these segula type of books, you know. He's not into a palm reading and into mezuzah reading and to reading your handwriting. They're not, why don't we do a segula? This is a very big school in Eretz Yisrael today. Why don't we change your name? Shinu Shem. Today it's a craze. In Eretz Yisrael today, it's the biggest craze. Everyone is changing their name because Kabbalah, the Mazel is telling the name, you change your name, all of a sudden the world will become a different place. Yes, Rabbi Rafal Levine, let's change Shinu Hashem. A new Mazel? New things will happen. Maybe you'll rediscover each other. And why rush into the divorce? So, okay, fine, we'll do it. We'll give him one more shot. You want to do a segula? Okay, who's going to change the name? So they start fighting, of course. Should the husband change the name? Should the wife change the name? So finally decide the wife will change the name. We're going to change the name of the wife, give a new name to the wife. Okay. And then it's okay, fine. But you know, in halacha, just because you change the name, it's really meaningless. Like, you know, you have all these people who are Sof Yamav, they add another name, Chaim, Yosef Chaim, all these things they add. Unless the person recovers, there's no obligation later after the person dies to refer to them by the name of Shin Hashem, unless the person really used the name for a significant period of time in his life. So he told them that if he really wants Shin Hashem, you have to use the name for 30, it could be he made this up, I don't know if it's true, it's not true, you have to use the name for 30 days. Every single, so therefore the only way that it's going to be a real Shin Hashem, which will trigger all of the magic of Kabbalah to affect this Kabbalistic change, you have to use it 30 days. So therefore, husband, you have to every single greet your wife for 30 days in a row. Every day you walk in the door and you say to her, "Shalom Alecha Sarah." You have to say to her, "Shalom Alecha," greetings to you, and call her by her name for 30 days. And that'll be a real Shinui Hashem, and maybe then magic will happen. So he did it. Every single day he walked into the house and he said to her, "Shalom Alecha Sara."
Aleich,
I'm sorry. Shalom Aleich. Shalom Aleich Sara. Shalom Aleich Sara. Shalom Aleich for 30 days. Okay, they never came back to Beis Din for the get. He asked them, he met them later on, "What happened? Did the Shin Hashem work?" So he said, "I don't know, you know, I'm not into Kabbalah. But every day I said to her, Shalom Aleich Sarah, I developed a new relationship with her. I greeted her. I said hello to her. She responded. That triggered a relationship. And you know, it wasn't so bad. We're compatible after all. There is chemistry." So it's an amazing story. The koyach of saying Shalom Aleich, you don't know how far it can go. Okay, that
negative side.
What? The negative side is what it says in Shulchan Aruch, that a man is not allowed to greet a woman, Shalom Aleich, because you see how powerful it is, and I'm saying Shalom Aleich a number of times, who knows where it could lead. I heard about Reisman say this, one of the Shem, he says that a Beis Yaakov girl, She was the top Beis Yaakov. She told this to Rabbi Reisman. She went to seminary. She got her first job. And, you know, she was a real tsunua sitting in the corner in a cubicle in the office. And the first day on her job, she was probably 18, 19 years old. She's sitting there, and her boss walks in, or one of her co-workers walks in and picks his head over the cubicle and says to her, "Good morning, Sarah. Welcome."
Told us the story.
So she said she felt like someone mamish was ma'anisa. Mm-hmm. That's what she felt like. Ma'anisa. I'm not going to say the English word. R-A-P-E. So that's what she felt like. Because she was so sheltered. She says, now it's a year later. If he doesn't come into the office in the morning and say good morning to me, I am so insulted, my whole day is ruined.
You told us a similar story.
So it goes to show how far the power of saying hello can go. Yeah.
Where this room girl started working, and a guy said, "Okay, we'll have lunch together." And it started and started and started, and ended up where they got married.
A guy. Having lunch together. Okay, well that's another halacha. They're not allowed to eat with the guy.
No, she said kosher restaurant.
Okay, there was something else I wanted to tell you. There was a whole bunch of other things. Let me just try to recall. I wanted to mention. There was something else.
It's a scholarship program. They're on scholarship.
Okay, there's an interesting Gemara. One quick thing that came to mind. There's an interesting Gemara. The Gemara says a person has a dream. And in the dream, they put him in Nidu, in Cherem, in Shamta, in Cherem. So he has to go to a Hatovas Chaloim. He has to go really to a Bezdin. And the Bezdin has to release him from his Nidu. The Gemara Masechet Nedarim, let's say the person, no one likes the person, he can't find a Bezdin that's willing to sit down to give him the time to release him from this excommunication that he suspicious that he's been put in because he had this dream. So the Gemara says he should sit down by the crossroads and say good morning to 10 people. Because when he'll say good morning or shalom aleichem to 10 people, they'll respond to him, aleichem shalom. So it's amazing. It goes from this Gemara, you see this idea that if 10 people wish you aleichem shalom or shalom aleichem has an effect. That can bring a person back into society to the degree where even if he was put in shamta, in shamayim, he can be released from that cherem. Okay, there is something else that's on the tip of my tongue that I'm forgetting. Okay, yeah, we have the very interesting halachic idea of amun moaf. Why in Amon Moav lo yavoi Amoni u'moavi bekal Hashem? Why? Why? They didn't give us. They didn't say a shalom aleichem. Al dvar shloim kidmu eschem ba lechem v'mayim ba derech hashem yitzasim v'tshem lo sidro shloimam v'tovisim kol yimechol yalam. It just goes to show that they are denied entering the Klal Yisrael forever. Because they did not come to greet us. They did not give us a Shalom Aleichem. This is the Iker trait of a member of Klal Yisrael, the ability to give another fellow Jew Shalom. Okay, wait, I'm forgetting something very good. I know I had something very interesting to tell you and I just can't remember what it is. I don't remember what it is. Oh yes, this is something which made a very powerful impression on me. I don't often get a chance to do this, but over Sukkot I purchased Mishpacha magazine, $5, and I read the whole thing. And there were many good articles. Those two magazines are just fantastic, Mishpacha and Ami magazine, and there was a fascinating article about collectors. Schnurs. You read it?
Yeah, but the travel agent.
You read the whole thing?
Set them up.
The whole thing? A whole collection of articles. It's not one article. It's like a collection of little articles about what goes through the mind of a schnur. What their life is like. I mean, these people, unfortunately, they're born into a situation where they have no choice. They're born in a society where they have no opportunities and they have to come collect. And they have large families. And okay, so we are very annoyed. We sit in shul, they come, they drive us crazy, they knock on the doors. we know what's going on behind the scenes, how they got here. Where are they staying by? Who put them up? Where do they get the money to fly to America? Where do they get the list of people to go collecting? There are a million different things that are going on before these people come to shul with a letter, what it says. So there was an incredible article that goes through everything, the whole process of what these people go through, the humiliation, the suffering, the situation they're in, who they stay by, and so on and so forth. Okay. One thing there really was very powerful, where they interviewed a lot of the Ishnaris in their stories, and they talk about different neighborhoods where they go collecting. And they talk about they come to certain neighborhoods, the people are very mean to them. Leave me alone, $1, $2, $5, what do you want? Some give them a little more. And then they spoke about one particular neighbor, Lakewood. And in Lakewood, most people there are very poor. Not everyone there is being supported. Most people are very, they don't have money to give. But he says that the people, when you knock on their door, at least in certain parts of Lakewood, they ride and they take you into the house. They give you something to drink, something to eat. They greet you with a smile, and they encourage you. At the end of the day, they give you a dollar because they don't have what to give. But the way they greet you is incredible. And he writes there, $1 in Lakewood is worth more to me than $10 in some other community because of the reception, because of the way the people have been raised, the chinuch they have received, to be makabel b'sefer panim yafos, to be makabel a person with a smile, with a warm greeting. And the way he wrote it, it's an amazing thing. You think the bottom line is money. We live in a society where everything is bottom line. When you come home, how much money do you have in your pocket? And he says the tsar is so great, the shnorai, the gold collect, and the way people, they spit on you, they train you, is so horrible. $1 in Lakewood, the experience is worth more than $10 going somewhere else. Just goes to show how powerful it is. You can't give a person the dollar, you can't give him the few dollars, but at least don't give him a harsh response. At least be makabel b'sefer panim yafos. It doesn't cost anything to do. It's free. It's the most basic form of gezel. Shalom Aleichem Rabbi Umairi. And that really, really stuck out of the story in Mishpacha magazine. If you want to get the book, it's a good book. No commission.